But there is the full-time whistle.
There goes the hooter.
And it's full-time.
And that's a whistle of joy.
Supporters invading the pitch.
We won it! We won it! We won it!
This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. The gap between male and female participation in sport may be closing, but when it comes to leadership roles in sport, the gender divide still looks pretty big. We'll look at the results of a Sligo survey into what the sports leadership picture for women looks like across the county right now. We'll also talk Sligo LGFA County Finals with Katie Walsh. And as the GAA hums and haws over possible changes to the football championship structure, three Donegal men will argue the toss on whether a change to the club championship in Tyrconnell is needed. And welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Here's how you can get in touch. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp or by text. Text will be charged at your normal mobile phone rate. If you prefer email, the address sport@oceanfm.ie, and you'll find us on Twitter as well. At Ocean FM Sport is the Twitter handle. So coming up shortly, Katie Walsh on this weekend's Connacht Gold Women's Senior Football Final in Sligo. Giva against St. Nathie's, two teams she's played against this season. And as we head for the quarterfinals of the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Football Championship this weekend, Paddy McGill, Frank Craig and Ryan Ferry look at the format to the Senior Championship and how it might be improved. There wasn't too much agreement in their discussion, let me tell you. More on that to come later. But first to the findings of a survey for Sligo on women in leadership roles in sport. They were published last night during a Women in Sport webinar, which was hosted by Sligo Sport and Recreation Partnership. 61 sports clubs across the county took part in the survey, which was conducted in August of this year. Those clubs span 31 different sports. The findings included just 9% of club chairpersons currently being female. Over the past decade, just 28% of clubs have had a female chairperson. 78% of the coaches of the clubs surveyed are male, 27% female. The findings broadly mirror the national picture when it comes to leadership roles for women in sport. And while on the face of it, some of those figures may spark alarm, the survey results have helped give a better picture of the leadership landscape. Shuan Crown is Community Sports Development Officer with Sligo Sport and Recreation Partnership. She coordinated this survey and she's been explaining the findings to the Final Whistle. And she says they also provide some encouraging data for clubs to build on.
I think with the information that we gathered, you could pick a lot, but for me, it was the fact that 56% of our clubs felt or recognised that they have women and girls within their club that hold unofficial positions of leadership, that they have women within their rankings that are consulted on decisions or influence change, but these women and girls don't have a set position within their club.
Sure, but they are the glue that help hold that particular sports club or organisation together.
100%. And like, these roles, we can imagine, we don't know for definite, naturally enough, but we can imagine that they're so wide and ranging that without them, as you say, that the club may not be there, or they wouldn't make the progress that they do, or they may not be able to turn up on match day without their influence. And it's so important to help support these women a bit more.
At first impression, some of the figures look worrying when you see that there are only 9% of clubs that have female chairpersons. Should we get too worked up about that, or is it just a reminder that there is still a road to travel?
I think if we get too worked up about it, we'll get too bogged down in the numbers and that, oh, this looks so poor, potentially. I think we should be focusing on, there's so much scope for improvement. There's so much we can do to support these women and support these clubs to make a change and improve these numbers over the next coming years. That's the perspective I would take on it personally.
Sure. And clubs are telling you, and they told you, that they are actively trying to develop the women's side of their clubs to be as strong as the men's input?
Mm-hmm. We gave an option at the end of our survey that the clubs could add any comments or make any suggestions or questions that they may have. And I was really intrigued by the comments that came in, because you could see the passion from many clubs in that they recognised it's such an important area that they do want to improve on it. And then in other clubs you can see they may have pointed out the numbers have improved over the past few years, or what they've done to make a difference, and they recognise the value in supporting such an area. And it was really, really quite excellent that our clubs do recognise the need to support this area.
We're hearing that participation levels are becoming more and more equalised in terms of male and female in recent times, that the gap there has narrowed considerably based on research that's come in over recent years. Is the trick now to make that happen on the administrative, coaching, managerial side of things?
I really think so. I really think it's important to look at it. And at our webinar last night, Mona McSharry made a very fair point, and she said that if 50% of our population are female, surely we should have similar and equal representation at leadership and committee and admin level within sports. That it's not just participation level we should be focusing on. It should be higher up, the ones that influence maybe a bit more change, we should be concerning ourselves with.
Did the data you received or answers you got give you any clues as to why there aren't more women in leadership roles in sport in this part of the world?
That was a question we didn't ask, purely because the purpose of our survey was to figure out what does sport in Sligo look like in August 2021. We just wanted to get a foundation of what's it looking like, what's the baseline and foundations here, so that we can look at Sport Ireland's policies and plans and use that to improve with the programmes that we have and with the resources that we have.
Okay, so it gives you a scope, a platform from which to work on then?
100%, yes.
And we mentioned at the top 64 clubs completed the survey. Just give us a sense of the spread of sports. I mean, was that largely football clubs, soccer clubs, rugby clubs, or in terms of sports represented, what was the spread like for the County Sligo area?
We had such a wide variety of sports. So overall, it was 31 sports. So you're talking about your majority sports, like Gaelic, hurling, football. But then you go down further and we see gymnastics and kickboxing and all the cycling clubs, rowing clubs. We had a shooting club, boxing. There was such a really wide spread that it gave us a great view of what's going on in the clubs in Sligo.
And that number you mentioned at the start of the interview, Shewan, 56% of clubs acknowledge that women hold unofficial positions of leadership within their club. Is that the one kind of that people can use as a really positive lever, that, you know, a lot of women are doing de facto leadership roles already? They may not have a title at the end of their name, but they are actually doing what a leadership role amounts to.
Yeah, I think it is really positive. And you see, I see the 56% as so positive and so optimistic because we're running our Women in Sport Leadership course starting in about 2 weeks, I think it is. And we see that as an opportunity to get some of those women into this course to help support them and help further and pursue those positions of leadership for them. But also a really great figure we found was that 22% of our clubs have female dedicated roles. So 22% of our clubs created such a role focusing on female participation that they made this role specifically to support this area. And for me, I think that's so, so optimistic, and it shows the commitment from our clubs.
That's Shuan Crown from Sligo Sport and Recreation Partnership, and she mentioned there the new Women in Sport Leadership course, which is a 7-week course starting on Thursday the 4th of November, and it's going to run for 7 consecutive Thursday evenings. And if you're interested in applying for a place in that course, applications are open now, and in fact they're closing fairly soon. Next Wednesday, the 20th of October, is the closing date at 12 midday. You'll find all the information there about the survey and about the course on sligosportandrecreation.ie, and you can apply online for that Women in Sport Leadership course that Shuan was referring to there, which begins in November, and the closing date next Wednesday, the 20th of this month at 12 midday. sligosportandrecreation.ie is the website address. Next to the LGFA County Finals in Gaelic football in Sligo this Saturday, Eastern Harps play Drumcliff Ross's Point in the Connacht Intermediate Final in Kerry at 12 noon. Then it's Giva against St. Nathie's in the Senior Final in Caish at 4 p.m. Both finals are going to be streamed live by Sligo LGFA. Let's have a word with Tour Lestran and Sligo footballer Katie Walsh, who's on the line and who'll be part of the Ocean FM Sport commentary team for the Senior Final on Saturday. Katie, I'm sure you'd prefer to be playing in this final rather than watching it come the weekend.
Yeah, most definitely, Hoston. Look, you'd always want to be playing at the top final that you can, which is the Senior Final this weekend. But look, hopefully next year maybe we might be in it.
Sure. Now, the format for the Sligo Senior Championship in women's football this year was a little different, a little more complicated. I'm not going to try and explain it. I'm not going to ask you to, because I think people might switch off the radio. It's quite technical and has to do with Connacht gradings and how teams that have reached provincial finals. So it's a slightly convoluted scale. But you played against Giva and St. Nathie's this season in the round-robin part of the Senior Championship. So who looks the better bet to you in Saturday's final?
I suppose, well, both teams have had a kind of mixed form this year. You know, usually coming up to the final, you can always call it. You know, there's always one team who'd kind of, you know, be maybe just that bit ahead of the other team. But both teams, I'd say, I'd agree with that. They've had a mixed campaign, you know, in terms of the league. You know, Giva got to the league final against ourselves, and then on the other side, Nathie's, they got relegated down to Division 2. So the league form, you know, Giva definitely came in the better. But then in the championship, you know, in the round robin stages, Giva only picked up one win. Nathie's picked up 2 wins. Now, both teams didn't play each other. They were due to play each other in the opening round, but both teams just decided not to because they knew they'd be paired up in the finals. So, coming into the championship, I suppose Nathie's probably have the upper hand. So it's pretty evenly balanced. Both teams have been kind of up and down in performances. So they're both due a good performance. And look, anyone who's watched the two teams or have heard the two teams know that they bring out the best in each other. So I think of all finals, like the last couple of years that they've been in, I think this is going to be definitely the closest one. I don't think you could call it, to be honest. Both teams have got 2 superb, you know, panels, not just first 15s, the 2 great panels, and there's depth there in both squads. So I don't know if I'd be able to call it for Saturday for who's going to take home the trophy.
Yeah, and whatever about the patchy nature of their football in the round-robin stages, these two clubs know each other so well. I mean, a lot of these players are county teammates or have been county teammates. I mean, there's very little these two sides don't know about each other.
Oh yeah, exactly. Look, they've been playing each other for, some of them there have been playing probably for about 20 years against each other. They know each other inside out, you know, and there's a few even family connections there with the Davies from Giva and the Gormley family from Nathie's. Like, so there's relations in there as well. So look, they know each other inside out. They won't be focusing on each other. They've played each other numerous times. But I think we're in for a cracking game on Saturday again, just like every other year when they play each other.
I know this particular championship was a slightly unusual one for various formatting reasons, but do you detect the depth in women's football in the county club-wise is getting stronger?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. And I think that's shown even with our underage teams coming through. You know, the last couple of years, you know, I'd say maybe 10 years ago, you'd have the same teams winning underage as senior, whereas now there's such a variety mix across the county, you know. The gap is definitely closing. You know, there's about 6 or 7 teams there that could win if you put them in a group there in what is the senior competition. Any team could win it. And no more with the intermediate. There's 6 teams there in the intermediate this year. And I know there's Eastern Harps and Drumcliff there in the final, but any team could have reached that. So I definitely think the gap is closing. And look, it's showing off, as I said, with our county teams every year. We're getting as close to, you know, the All-Ireland champions. You know, it's showing off in your county teams what's coming through in the clubs. But I think the gap is definitely closing. Like, you know, as I said, you hear of teams coming up, Drumcliff are coming up, Eastern Harps are coming up, you know, getting promoted from Division 2 this year. They'll be contenders next year. They'll be able to well hold their own in the Division 1 league next year. So it's good to see, you know, other teams coming through and, you know, challenging St. Nathie's and Givens. And they'll be loving that as well. You know, I'm sure they're probably sick of seeing each other. So, you know, new competition, new kids on the block is always good for the game.
This is a big leap I'm making with my next question, Katie, but I'm just reminded for some reason when listening to you talk there about two seasons ago, I did a commentary in Clonus when the Sligo County team played Meath in a Division 3 National League final. And 24 months later, Meath are the preeminent senior county in the country. And I know they have a special talent and group of players right now, but in some small way, should that provide a little bit of incentive to counties like Sligo about what might be possible?
Absolutely. Like, I remember that Division 3 final, and I remember just taking my hat off to Meath. You know, they said to us after that game, they said, look, we came with a plan and we want to go on and become bigger and better. And they had belief in themselves. At the end of the day, you know, if you want to work hard and if you want to win something and put your mind to it, any team can do it. And I think Meath this year, it was phenomenal to see the amount of people that was talking about that game, about, you know, women's football. I'd say that the All-Ireland final between the women's this year was spoke more so about the men's All-Ireland final, which was great to see. And Meath definitely, I became the most passionate Meath woman here sitting on the edge of the couch, and no more than everyone else across the country. Like, it was great to see. And yeah, like, it's mad to think that we were playing them 2 years ago, and, you know, they tapped off to them, you know, they just put their heads down and they believed in the squad of players and they stuck at it for 2 years, and that comes with commitment and dedication, and look, it's paid off for them. And as I said, we have to take our hats off to them and applaud them for it. And look, hopefully, you know, in the next coming years, hopefully that'll be, you know, Sligo ladies up there, or, you know, at least getting to them days out in Croke Park. And like, our county team this year, we were only a point off Westmeath, you know, went right down to the wire and they ended up going on to win. So, you know, it's just about having belief in your team, and you know, hopefully next year and in the coming years, as I said, we'll see the black and white there doing exactly what Meath did this year.
Sure. One final thought on the club finals this weekend. The senior final in Caoimhe at 4 for Giva against St. Nathie's, and the intermediate final in Eastern Harps and Drumcliff, that's in Kerry, at midday on Saturday. I know at this time of year, pitch availability is a challenge. Caoimhe and Kerry are fine grounds, but as a player, Katie, would there be a little bit of dismay that the showpiece games aren't brought to the main stage, Markovic Park?
I suppose Markovic Park, you know, it is the county ground, and it's great. Like, in the last couple of years, you know, fair play to the county board there and to the Sligo ladies, they've got the club finals in Markovic the last 2 or 3 years. But I suppose growing up, I'd say you could count on one hand the amount of times of kind of more experienced girls have played on Markovic. So for us older girls, it's probably nothing of the norm to be playing, you know, a county final in a club ground. And Caoimhe and Kerry are two phenomenal pitches. And look, it is, I suppose, a shame for, you know, girls who haven't had that chance to play on Markovic not to be playing on it. But at the end of the day, look, all the girls on both teams on both finals want to do is just bring home that trophy, regardless of whether you have to travel 40 minutes home or whether you have to travel 10 minutes home or home from Markovic, Caoimhe or Kerry, wherever it is. If you have that cup coming home with you, I suppose the pitch you're playing on doesn't really matter at the end of the day. So I'm sure it's not going to play a massive factor for the teams involved. But I suppose, look, it is a bit of a shame, like I said, just to, you know, get that day out of Markovic. It is a big occasion for a lot of girls. But look, as I said, you know, next year maybe, you know, they'll be back in Markovic. But, you know, I'm sure Kerry and Caoimhe will provide two phenomenal venues for the weekend's games.
Katie Walsh, enjoy the finals on Saturday.
Cheers, Austin. Thank you.
Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's final whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.
Welcome back to the programme. 083 3500 530 is the number to text or to WhatsApp. A reminder, both Sligo ladies finals are being streamed live this Saturday by Sligo LGFA. The Donegal Senior Championship Kernan Group Senior Final, it's on this Sunday at lunchtime in Lifford. That's Glenfinn, the holders, against Geraldine McLaughlin and Termin, 1:30 on Sunday. Ocean FM Sport will be bringing you commentary on all four Donegal men's senior football quarterfinals this weekend, starting with Eirua against St Michael's tomorrow night, Friday, at 8:30. Then on Saturday night, we've got Kilcar against McCool's Live from 8 p.m. Then two quarterfinals on Sunday, St Noel's against St Hunan's at 3, Gidor against Naef Conal, the holders, at 5:15. Paddy McGill's been assessing those games with local journalists Frank Craig and Ryan Ferry on this week's Donegal GAA podcast, and they've also been looking at what the format of the senior championship, how it might be tweaked to improve it. This year, 8 teams have made the knockout stages, the quarterfinals, but 8 have got sucked into the relegation playoffs. And according to Ryan Ferry, that doesn't necessarily mean more meaningful games or a better championship.
What went on last Saturday was just, like, I just didn't see what the point in it was. There were 6 or 7 teams with nothing to play for in the final round of the game, final round of fixtures. You know, I think with the way it was, with the way this structure is, Paddy, it really suits the big four teams, and that they're always going to come through that. And I suppose the tweak this year was that there was no seeding, and you know, it probably makes a huge difference for the other teams that are not in the big four, that they thought that, well, if we get through, you know, we're not just on to a hiding to nothing. And now that's tough on Gweedore and Naef Conal. And, you know, we'd all, you know, if we had the two big semi-finals like we've had in a couple of recent years, we'd all go along to it and we'd really enjoy it. But I think, you know, I think it's good that we're going to have a different team in the semi-finals this year. I think, you know, St Michael's and Eirua will look at this as a fantastic opportunity. You know, it is, as I said, it's tough on Naef Conal and Gweedore, but that's the luck of the draw, and you get on with it, and, you know, one of them will fall on Sunday evening, and, you know, their season will be over, and, you know, they might think they're hard done by, but the championship will go on, and that'll just be the way it is.
A lot of clubs, I think, are not resting on their laurels, but relying on we're going through transition, that we're that or that. Some of the scores that some of the traditional big hitters have put up in the last couple of weeks have been embarrassing. You know, returns of 2 or 3. And I know maybe I'm being hard and you need to look at it subjectively at size like Four Masters or Tearman that are young or maybe, you know, have dropped down through the grades. But I was in Ardra the night that Ardra played Kilkear, and they had 1 point scored by the 58th minute. That's not a, you know, it's not a side in transition. You know, there's some experience there. There's lads in their early 20s. I think they need to look at what Eirua have done. And even, you know, you look down the relegation, you know, it's not all, you know, equal down there either. Glenfinn can feel very aggrieved. Again, a side that might be coming up to Division 1, you know, next year as well. I think the onus is on, you know, we criticise this top four bracket and we keep referencing it. I hate mentioning it now. I'm trying to think of other descriptions to describe it. But, you know, other sides need to start pulling their socks up too, Paddy, and maybe, you know, aspiring to be a wee bit better here and there, because it just hasn't been good enough. And again, I know you said we're going to touch on it. Maybe it might be time to look at a format that's more, you know, fair and more equal to some of the sides. I just look at my notes here now and I'm just thinking if the senior championship was 2 groups of 4 of what we have there, you know, and what we have here in the relegation, maybe a senior B, 2 groups of 4, with obviously jump between in terms of promotion and relegation, it probably would give all those sides, you know, a far better chance of being competitive. I think everybody would win in the sense that the county team would probably see players at a more even level. And I think the teams themselves, when you look at Four Masters, Tearman, Glenswally, Ardra, Killeen, Aisley, and Finn, Milford, Bundoran, senior B championship there, whoever wins that, just one side progressing the senior A the following year, maybe with their eyes open a wee bit, and with a wee bit of, you know, momentum behind them would be a better thing. Because listen, what we're looking at, and Ryan's already mentioned it, the 16 team championship thing, it's been like pulling teeth to get to where we are now, and we still have 16 teams competing for something. You know, I'm tired of it anyway. It's just kind of been exhausting, kind of looking this sort of paralysis by analysis and some of this stuff, bringing up managers in round 4 and asking them, how are you this week, hey? After them maybe losing the 3 previous games. It's, I think even they are tired of the monotony of it all. So listen, I think it's something that needs to be revisited. And listen, people would get excited and far more interested. Like a senior B championship final between, say, a Tearman, Ardra, a Glenfinn, Glenswally, it just gives them that wee bit of more I think, confidence in to go up to the following, you know, senior bracket, senior year. And like, I look at professional competitions now, Paddy, Champions League, World Cups. It's about saturating these competitions with about as many teams as possible. Money's the motivation there. Money's not the motivation, obviously, in amateur GAA. But how much interest have we all lost in the likes of the Champions League group stages, World Cup group stages, because there's so many dead rubbers there. I mean, back in the day, the Champions League was, I think, two groups. It was in the early 90s. You know, you things like United, Benfica, United, Barcelona, I think Bayern Munich in one group in 99.
Yeah.
Like, the senior championship group now, I suppose Niamh Connell would be laughing if it was them, McCool, St. Michael's and all. But, you know, if you had seen it where you had two of the big hitters in each group, it might give a wee bit of a chance, you know, I think, for the other sides to improve and play catch-up. And drip feed one side back into that senior A every year through one in the senior B.
I think the top four talk is, and I'm as guilty myself, it's nauseating, to be honest. I'm going to try and never use it again. And I said this a few times, I've lived in other counties. I absolutely love counties that play 10, 12 senior teams. I've said it a million times. You have a brilliant intermediate and a brilliant junior. And I would also get rid of reserve football and regrade them like they do in Galway. So say that you wouldn't put them straight into junior A or intermediate. It'd have to work the way up. Take Unions and Neve Connell, who have two brilliant reserve teams. Okay, they'd start at the bottom, but I bet you they would find their way up the levels very, very soon, and it adds way more meaning to it. But I completely concur, Frank. I think 16 is just far too many in any county. Ryan?
I think the senior B idea is a complete non-runner. I don't like it whatsoever.
Okay, but what about then 10 or 12 at senior then? And just go down and go. And look, I'm from Ardrahan, and I've no shame in saying Ardrahan at the moment would probably be going down there too. And Killybegs, the neighbouring club. But you've just a far better junior, a far better senior. It's a no-brainer, no?
But Paddy, like, if Hugh McFadden was fit, would Killybegs not think that they would maybe be in that top 10?
Yeah, but look at the crest of the wave Bairua are getting from Cork. I'm in around, I've seen a few of their games. They're great fellas, right? And they've a really good management team. And there's just this positivity surrounding them coming into training. And look at how well St. Noel's have done. Glenfinnan were unlucky. Surely they're getting momentum from the crest of the wave from winning an intermediate championship. And it could be the same if those 10 or 12. Let's say Killybegs won it, or Ardrahan or Terman. Surely that positivity would carry on a continuity to the following year.
Yeah, well, my point is, like,
rather than these teams struggling every single year, it's the same teams that are just staying up every single year.
Yeah, like, I'm not against, say, restructuring it. It's the senior B idea. I just don't see what motivation do you have that, you know,
The motivation for me would be there, Ryan. I mean, you see, like, have a Glenfinnan or, say, came up a few years ago, you have Arua. The jump from being intermediate champions to winning a senior championship is, I mean, you're talking about miles. The jump from intermediate to winning a senior B championship isn't. So if you had a senior B title under your belt, then going into senior A, you've just bridged the gap, I think, again. I just think it's impossible if you come up as intermediate championship. And then you end up swimming or treading water in this middle earth where you might be too good to go down, but nowhere near good enough to punch through a glass ceiling. And that's where I think clubs like my own club, Ardrahan, find themselves. They're just in this vortex of I think, interest. It just wanes. You chat to people in Dunlow that have dropped to intermediate, dropped Division 2. Things are buzzing down there again. I was in Dunlow Sunday morning with the ferry walk with my daughter. And I was looking in over the fence there in Dunlow, and it was obviously an A versus B game, but they were tearing into each other. And you wouldn't have got that in Dunlow on a Sunday morning training session, you know, two seasons ago, because they were completely disillusioned. So disillusioned that so many of the boys end up departing and going to Australia and American places like that there. There's a bite again about Dunlow. I mean, if Dunlow, what happened to one in intermediate with a bit of momentum, went into a senior B competition, they'd have a chance of winning it next year if they managed to lift the intermediate this year. But maybe the caveat of the warning there is that, you know, the intermediate championship's pretty tasty the way it is. And I would just be afeard of, you know, plumping that there up at the expense of getting our maybe 18 senior championship and forgetting about a senior B, you know, bumping up the intermediate might disturb what we have there, which I think is probably, you know, every bit as exciting, if not more exciting than the senior one at the minute.
I just, you know, I'm not against restructuring it. I'm just saying, but like, just put them down to intermediate, where there's that push to get out to win the intermediate and get up to Ulster and go through a good run at Ulster, because that's very tangible for teams now, that you can go on a good through run in the Ulster Intermediate Championship. But teams, like, I don't know, like, if you're in a Senior B Championship and all you're playing for is a place in the Senior Championship next year, like, what's the motivation to go to the gym in January for that, Frank? Like, I just don't see it.
I think silverware, I mean, you look at Milford there. What would a Senior B, you know, what would a Senior B Championship mean to the likes of Milford or a Terriman side with the average age of 22? I think your motivation come January then will be massive. What's their motivation come January at the moment? Getting stuffed by, you know, some sides are getting stuffed by 19, 20, 21 points. Do you know, I think put yourself in any young fella's shoes. Now, the world's a lot different to when, you know, if you're 19 or 20, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you're usually, you know, based around home. Some are traveling to college, some are working away. Lads are just looking for an excuse now to fly the nest. And of the, you know, the lure of football isn't there in their local parish, they're going to be gone. And I think you need to be competitive, and some sides shouldn't have. It's not about, we talk about this in Intercounty as well. There are levels to this game, and I think you have to bracket the sides that are in certain levels and put them together and give them incentive. You know, as you say, maybe Senior B is the wrong way to title it, but I get your point that it needs to be discussed, or it needs to be, you know, it needs to be open to the floor. How best? I think we're all in agreement that we have at the minute just isn't working.
Yeah, but like, you know, I think you've got to look at what we have here too, and you've got to accept that we have, like, I'm going to call them the big four or the top four, even if you don't want to, but like they have so much quality in their team. And I was talking to Paul Rouse, the Sean McCool's manager, yesterday evening, and he was just talking about, you know, Kilcar have four county players, and they've maybe another four or five that have county experience, played in National League and in Senior Championship. Like, that is huge, you know. And
I'll let you finish, and you'll make a very good point here.
That is with the top four. Like, Weedore would have eight or nine players as well. You know, Niamh Connell have that. Now, in the Tyrone Senior Championship last night, Dungannon were playing Dromore, and they played out a cracking game. And people are talking about Twitter now. I didn't see it myself, but I was looking through the team sheets, and from what I could recognise, and I would keep a wee idea or a close eye on it, maybe not 100%, but I reckoned that Dungannon had two players with senior experience, and Dromore maybe four. Like, that's a huge difference from eight or nine, like, you know.
Of,
and like, looking at it, I would say maybe Eric O'Kieran would have maybe the same level. But I just think over the rest of the Tyrone Club Championship, maybe they have four or five. There's just more of a spread, whereas here in Donegal at present, we have four very, very strong teams, and it's going to be hard for sides to compete with them if they don't have, you know, the two or three county players and the few fellas that have played there before.
All right, well, look at it this way. Let's look at the top four and look at them each as case studies. You said it earlier, Gordor are never going to go away. St. Junas are never going to go away. But let's look at Kilkear, the current Kilkear senior team. How many of those lads have under 14 and under 16 B titles? How many of those lads, the likes of, you know, Ryan McHugh, Owen McHugh, have reserved titles for Kilkear? Kilkear looked at their model about 15 or 20 years ago and said it wasn't working. And I remember there was disgruntlement in other clubs when they dropped down through the ranks at underage into B competitions. They started giving their players competitive outings. They started putting medals in their back pocket, and they've generated huge interest. But I have no doubt, and you talk to Kilkear people, Kilkear are going to go away in the next 5 or 6 years simply because they don't, not that they don't have the structures in place below now, they just don't have the bodies or the, you know, the people coming through. So Kilkear are going to drop off. And listen, Niamh Connell as well could well drop off in future as well. Where's the other sides coming through maybe to take their place? You could revert back to, you know, a big two or whatever, but other sides have to aspire to what the likes of Niamh Connell and Kilkear especially of that big four have done in the last 15 or 20 years, and that is to get their sides competitive games and competitive leagues, regardless if they're called A, B or C competitions. That's where players flourish. That's where you keep interest. And listen, Hammers at underage, you know, are far more probably effective and maybe have negative connotations than I think they do at senior. So you need to be very careful what you're bringing through and what level you're bringing them through. And I just think Kilkear and Niamh Conlon, especially Kilkear, you look at the likes of Ryan McHugh, Owen McHugh, Steve McBrady, all these boys, they probably have, you know, underage medals in inferior competitions at home. But I think it served them well by the time they've got the senior. They've managed to lasso or harness a senior team that's capable of, you know, challenging for honours, winning big honours. And I just think the overall picture, and I know we're splitting hairs here and going off in different directions, but I think it's definitely something that needs to be revisited. You know, get the clubs involved, get them, you know, bringing proposals to the table and seeing where we can go down the line. Because I think there's some big clubs there, if they continue to suffer the way they're suffering at the minute, you just wonder how they're ever going to come out of the hole they find themselves in.
Well, yeah. just to go back on that, and I know, Paddy, maybe we are going way off the tangent, but like...
And my next question was, who's going to pick up Michael Langan? And we've just went on a 20-minute rant here. Okay, Ryan, last one on this, because no, it's a very important...
Just last, like, well, first of all, you know, Ryan McHugh and Paddy McBrady, they may have under 14 Division 2 titles. They also have minor championship Division 1 titles and under 21 A titles. So
you're making my point for me there. They've progressed, you know, they've progressed up through the ranks where they probably felt confident enough mentally and physically by minor, you know, to compete. Ryan McHugh, I mean, there's that famous photo of him and Paddy McBrady embracing in an under 14 game. Ryan McHugh, I mean, he's up to Paddy McBrady's knees. You know, Ryan McHugh was able to develop an under 14, under 13 without being poleaxed, maybe an under 14, under 16 A. So again, you need to look at it in a certain way that's, I think these players ultimately are benefiting, you know, from that.
No, but my point before interrupted there, Frank, was that, like, look at the minor championship this year. Look at the semi finalists there last Sunday. McCool's against Four Masters. Glenfinn against Glenswilly. We're going to have a McCool's Glenswilly county minor final. Those teams both had third teams. Like, there's a huge amount of work going on. The likes of Terman, Dunlow. Like, a huge amount of work is going on, like, you know, and I just, you know, like, I just think we've got to appreciate at the minute, and again, I'm not against tweaking championships or looking at things, but I just think we have four very strong teams in the county at present that are good but stronger than everybody else, but that mightn't always be the case. It mightn't be the case in 5 years' time, it mightn't be the case in 10 years' time.
And I talking to, you know, I was looking at the last 15 or 16 under 21 championships. The top four have won, I think, 13 out of 15 or 14 out of 16, something like that. Look, lads, we definitely went over time, and I know, Frank, you need to go talk about digressing. That's my fault. Eirua, St. Michael's, Michael Langan, if you can tie him up, they'll feel, Eirua, that they go a long way, Ryan, to winning this. He is class.
He is, and like he had been carrying an injury at the start of the championship. You know, he was very, very good against Killybegs last week. Looking at the Eirua team, now you probably have seen them more than I have this year, Paddy. I'd say it's a job for Eamon McGrath. Is it, like, you know?
Yeah, no, there's a question mark over him and his fitness. It's probably a job for him, yeah. Eddie Lynch as well. It depends where Langan plays. Colm Kelly would usually pick up their main man that would go inside, but you're probably looking at Eamon McGrath or perhaps Eddie Lynch if McGrath's not okay.
Yeah, maybe big Johnny Gethins could do a job on it too. I don't know. Like, I think this is a cracking game, Paddy, because I think both teams will really be eyeing it up. You know, Eirua look at St. Michael's, at the boys carrying injuries. St. Michael's will look at Eirua and think they've got the craft and experience to beat them. It's really, really well set up. And I think it could be the game of the weekend, tell you the truth.
Phil Patton has been excellent this year. Very underrated footballer. I've seen him, but in very few bad performances. Michael McKenna, outstanding the last day. The young guy now, Mark McGlynn. Call it in a word, Ryan.
St. Michael's.
Frank.
I think Eirua beat them.
Yeah, going to be a close one. Kilkear McCool's. Let's fly through this. It's in our draw. And look, Kilkear have shown huge resilience this year, Ryan. Okay. You know, they're a top team. I thought they were going to be a little bit hungover after the county final, if I'm being honest. As in, I suppose that win then against St. Junan's really was the catalyst for them in terms of getting over that hangover.
Yeah, but like, again, going back to the point I made, Paddy, they've so much quality. Like, you know, you're never going to keep a team like Kilkear, you know, down like that. And, you know, they are motoring well. And, you know, they have boys, the likes of McBrady, the likes of Ray McHugh. Those boys are 27, 28. They are in their prime now. Like, you know, like, for a long time, they were the young pretenders. They're not anymore. They're here and they're ready. And, you know, like McCool's, I think McCool's have the raw ingredients to put it up to them. I think they've got good defenders, the likes of Marty Gallagher, Ronan McMenamin, Chad McSorley, Luke Gavigan, young Kian Mulligan come out of the minors, looks a good player. And they've obviously got Oisin Gallan, who will cause, you know, every team in the county problems. But it's just hard to see past Kilcare. They should have too much.
Yeah, okay. St. Noll's v. St. Unans. Frank?
Yeah, that's a difficult one for St. Noll's there. I think St. Unans will be delighted with the way the draw has kind of worked out for them, especially with, you know, the three other big sides lumped on the other side of the draw. I think St. Unans will won that, not won them comfortably, but again, they have serious designs. They were a serious path in front of them, where they should be making a final if they look at that there. If they don't uphold that end of the bargain, they'll only have themselves to blame, because I think they're superior in quality, you know, strength and depth. They tick all the boxes over everything else on that side of the draw. So I think it's St. Unans versus, you know, whoever comes through that there, other tough side. And if Connell we don't want them again, obviously I would expect Kilcare to beat McCool. So it's going to be a St. Unans versus, I think, whoever, you know, progresses in that tricky A side.
I love when players say they don't listen to podcasts for that. They all do, because they seem to know everything after the match. So Frank Craig is so getting played in the dressing room beforehand by the St. Noll's management.
Well, St. Noll's were aggrieved last week, and rightly so, that, you know, they felt the game was handed to them. And I thought it was brilliantly refreshing to see the likes of Stephen Griffin and that there coming out and saying how they felt.
You know,
we probably need more of that there. And listen, huge respect for them to mention that there. And again, listen, I don't think I'm disrespecting them. I think, you know, there's serious progress been made in Mount Charles. They're into a senior football championship quarter final, I think, you know, for the first time ever. So listen, the world's their oyster going forward. They've nothing to lose at the weekend. You know, they're a young, energetic side. They'll need to throw the kitchen sink at St. Unans. I just think St. Unans are far further down that track. You know, it's just such a big ask, I think, in the here and now. But no, St. Noll's, I think, sterling work going on there. Won an intermediate championship a few years ago. You can see the progression there, Paddy, step by step. And, you know, this year, again, is another step on that their journey. But it's almost impossible to look past St. Unans, not just in terms of St. Noll's, but that entire side of the draw now.
I agree. I thought the interviews were absolutely brilliant. More of that, please. And look, if you can use it as a siege mentality. Ryan, I see you nodding your head there. You seem to disagree with everything Frank says. You think this is a banana skin for St. Unans, don't you?
Well, I disagree. Like, you think this is a normal Tuesday morning for us, Paddy? Like, we're just
we're actually getting on the day.
No, like I actually have seen St. Noll's four group games, and I've been really impressed with them. I just think Pater Mogan has really brought his game to a new level. Like, I just love the intensity and drive that he plays with Brendan McCall. You know, Brendan, probably a bit maligned at times in this county, but, like, he empties himself into the cause every single time. He's a tough defender. I think he's really progressed. And, you know, I was down watching him the last day. They move the ball very wide. They move the ball very well. They keep the ball wide. You know, they haven't played one of the top four teams, and they've got through, and they're going to play one this weekend. So that's a huge challenge. But, you know, I would agree. I think they've made great progress. I thought Stephen Griffin's interview, even though it was with a rival media outlet, I didn't manage to pick it up. I thought it was quite good. So, listen, I think they're in a great position. But, you know, you just would expect St. Unans to have too much for them.
Alan Foley, the Piers Morgan of Donegal.
I was going to say Hector, but no, whatever floats your boat. Fairness to him, Alan is disarming in that sense that I think the two boys, you know, just went for it. It is very interesting, but, you know, don't lose the cusp of the point in between, the messing and joking, because, you know, the wording was strong in a sense that the boys probably felt that, you know, anyone that wasn't at that game or listened to the radio or read newspapers, that Glenn Swilly basically were robbed. That was the gist of it. I mean, in a clumsy, you know, terms, paraphrasing, but the boys are there in the quarterfinal. They're there on merit. And maybe some of the, you know, we're probably talking about dull and boring group stages, but, you know, you look at that there, sort of subplot of Glenn Swilly maybe being in a relegation battle in St. Noll's in a quarterfinal. There's some interest based amongst the, you know, the boredom, but not enough, I think, for us not to maybe look for a different direction and all that.
Glenn Swilly, our draw relegation playoffs. Look, we're already running out of time. Call that one, Ryan. First of all, should Glenn Swilly be in a relegation playoff having won two games? Should 50% of the field go into a relegation playoff?
Definitely not. And like, but this is my point, Paddy. Like, had you had just the bottom four, you would have had more competitive games last week, you know, because like I was at Milford and St Nod's. Now, Milford's performance was pretty poor, but like, you know, St Nod's got a very good start. What was their motivation after 15 or 20 minutes to battle hard? Like, and, you know, sure, they were just going through the motions then. And, you know, like, to me, it was all done wrong in that regard. And, you know, I don't want to come across too hectic on fixture makers or organisers, because I imagine it's a queer pain trying to organise it all. But, and I know that the reason they did it was in case teams had COVID and had to drop out, but then nobody had COVID and had to drop out. So, you know, I think they should have just, they should have just maybe called it a week or two ago and said, you know, no, it's just going to be the bottom four. Maybe you can't do that with the regulations and stuff. I don't know. But yeah, I feel that Glenn Swilly, you know, and Glenfin, I feel they're harshly done by, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to be relegated. And I think Glenn Swilly are going to be their draw this week.
And your own club, Milford, Bundoran?
Yeah, like that's, like I watched Milford and Bundoran last year and Bundoran beat Milford in a good game. You know, both teams are probably missing five or six players since that, you know. So, like, you know, I suppose from my own allegiances, I would like to see Milford win it. But, you know, I probably, you know, if you're going with the head, I would say you'd have to tip Bundoran to win that.
Ryan Ferry alongside Frank Craig and Paddy McGill on this week's Donegal GAA podcast, which is available to listen to now in its entirety in all the usual places. And our coverage, our live coverage of the four quarterfinals begins tomorrow evening, 8:30 on 105 FM. We're in Ballybuffet for Éirua Ballyshannon against St Michael's. That's live and full courtesy of Sean Oakes Bar in Ballyshannon. A reminder, The Final Whistle is also available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Ireland to find it. We're back next week, same time, same place.